So we're going to be in Proverbs. Proverbs, we'll start with chapter 1. According to my little computer there at the house, it counts some words. It's supposed to have 15,043 words. So that's a good bit of words in that book, and it's going to take us a little while to go over it. I wrote this in my Bible one time. A man down here shared something with me, and I tried to write it down. I wrote it down here, and I liked it. He says, Psalms presents to you the happy man. He said it kind of speaks to your spiritual side, because the thing is, sure, there's a lot of rough stuff over in the Psalms, and you said, but the thing is, if you'll break up your fallow ground, he said, you're sowing tears, you're reaping joy. Well, you see over there, and through the Psalms, you read through there. Some of them ones, he's sowing in tears, but then you see him really praising the Lord. And you got the happy man over there in Psalms. Proverbs gives you the wise man. It speaks to your soul. That's your emotions. That's where your intellect is. That's where you make your decisions. So we need that wisdom out of the Proverbs for our daily walk. And friends, that's why I highly recommend, and I know y'all do this, but anybody I can recommend it to, I recommend reading a proverb a day. It takes you about 5 minutes, sometimes 10 at the most, to read a proverb a day. And just whatever day it is, like today is the 21st. Well, I read Proverbs chapter 21 this morning. And man, just start your day off. If you don't read nothing else, you can read them Proverbs. Now, Ecclesiastes, that's the worldly man. If you'll notice, everything in Ecclesiastes, your Jehovah's Witnesses mainly get way out there in Ecclesiastes, because they don't realize he keeps on saying, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. He's giving you the wise man's wisdom from a standpoint of somebody looking at everything under the sun. He's not giving you, and most of it, a heavenly portrayal of what a man who's real close to the Lord. Whenever he wrote Ecclesiastes, you've got to realize he's writing it in a time when he's planting in vineyards, and he's talking about the time of his life where he was trying to do anything he could do with all the money and all the resources he's had, and you know what he come to the conclusion? He was richer than any man today. A man on earth today, you count the money he had there, and you look at what he had. A man today couldn't touch what he had. And he said, look, I tried it all. You know, he got to the end. He said, look, I found out I fear God and keep His commandments. This soul do to man. I done all that stuff. Time to kill, time to dance, time to and plant, time to pluck up. And man, he said, look, fear God and keep His commandments. If you don't learn nothing else, just realize, fear God. And man, I tell you what, that's a blessing. So you got the worldly man, now the Song of Solomon, then you got the heavenly man. Do you know what a preacher told me one time? He said, look, men need to read to understand women and to keep yourself in touch with that side. God put that book in there for a man to be able to read Song of Solomon to stay in a state of mind where you can love your wife. Man, I'll tell you what, a man's supposed to love his wife, and that's what the Bible says. And so the thing is, Peter said, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, dwell with her according to knowledge. And I used to think about that. Well, what happens is, no longer and I've been married, you know what happens? As you're married more, your wife develops just like you develop. I'm not the same man I was 7 years ago. And if you're a saved man will grow year by year. Hopefully, if the Lord delays His coming, I hope 7 years from now I'm closer to the Lord than I was. You got to dwell with her according to knowledge, because guess what? She's going to change a little bit, and you got to have knowledge. That's gather information. Knowledge is gathering information on how she's changing, and apply to that marriage. And so you get that in the Song of Solomon. But now the thing is, Song of Solomon was probably written first. The Lord's got these books in a certain order for a reason, and we're going to go over some of that later on in our study. But now, Song of Solomon was probably written first because he was a young man, and there you see him in love with the woman, and you see he's got that young love, he's got all that energy and everything else, and then you got Proverbs written next whenever he's in that state of mind where he's gaining his wisdom there early on. He's got that wisdom. Remember, he asked the Lord. The Lord said, what do you want? He said, well, I want an understanding heart, I want wisdom to be able to help this people you get. He said, I tell you what, since you've asked for something so selfless, you didn't ask for a selfish thing, I'm going to give you all these things. And so, you know, that's neat how the Lord says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. That's a good application there. Old Testament has application to how Solomon asked for wisdom, and guess what? God gave him everything else. The thing is, we're going to find out here, we're supposed to seek after wisdom. This world nowadays, hey, they're not seeking after godly wisdom. Man, hey, the fact that, do you know if people are seeking after godly wisdom, these pews would be full right now.
That's right.
They'd be full. And the thing is, this world right now, you know what they're seeking after? Worldly wisdom. We'll go over the worldly wisdom. Another thing too, in Ecclesiastes, was probably written his last thing, and you know what he's trying to warn? His old boy Rehoboam, that was the only one he had left. He threw all his kids in the fire, just wasted most of his wisdom, and he's begging, he's saying, look, I've done this, I've tried this, and I've tried that. The son, look, please, don't go down that road. He said, look, this is the thing. And he told him up there at the end, Ecclesiastes, what he ought to do. Did he listen? He didn't listen. You know what that tells you? Most folks ain't gonna listen. They just not gonna listen. And so what a blessing is. Why? Because the Bible says broad's the way. You know why? Men love darkness. That's a bad thing, but they do. So you see that there. Now, another thing too, the author is Solomon. It says right here, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so you'll see a lot of things in there. Solomon has got a lot of wisdom. And another thing too, if you want to see other verses that tell you that, if you're taking notes, any of you, chapter 10 verse 1 and 25 verse 1 say the same thing. Say he's the author of most of it. Now I think there's two chapters. I think it was chapter 30 and 31. I think it was Proverbs of two different men there. But the rest of it, Solomon. And so you got a lot of wisdom coming up here. And y'all, this is a lot of fun to go through this because we can apply so much of it to our life. 1 Kings 11:1, it'll tell you that Solomon had woman trouble. And you know what you'll find over here? You'll find him in chapter 5 and things like that. You know what he compares that old bad thing and the devil and things. He talks about a woman, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. What's honey? Sweet, isn't it? Well, do you know, you can tell most of the time, like this Rick Warren, everything, you ever notice who he's always talking about? Well, he can better you and you and you and you and everything else. That's how Joel Osteen preaches. Make you feel good all the time. Now, you know what? Bible preaching can make you feel good without having to have worldly wisdom. Man, when I get to hear about Jesus Christ, somebody gets to brag on me. Man, that's what gets the Christian. Well, the thing is, don't get up there and brag on me. Get up there and brag on them. See, they're going the back door well. You're supposed to come through Jesus, the door through Jesus. Well, that'll hit your spirit. But see, what they do is, they come around the side, and guess what they do? They get to the body. That's why they're preaching on Mount the Hill of Beans. They can preach till the Lord comes back, and their preaching ain't gonna amount to a bit of fun. But you can take a five minute message. Paul said, I'd rather speak five words than 10,000 messages of somebody preaching to your flesh, and that five minute message will do better than 10,000 of them worldly messages. Why? Because that's the way God designed it. Foolishness of preaching. Now, there's different sections in here, but one section you'll see, you got sections, chapters 1 through 9 is kind of one section here. You'll be dealing with wisdom and things like that. But in the second section is one that I tend to like. Section 2 starts with chapter 10 through, and I stopped it there and I couldn't find nothing else, but it pretty much stops at chapter 22:16, dualism. You'll see, but this, but that, but this, the wise man, but the foolish man. You see that but, that's dualism. He's comparing two things in their lot. And you'll know if you're going to find something in Scripture, you'll find that you always contrast something. It's a contrast. Like how can we tell truth from error? Well, we contrast the truth with the error. People at a bank, you know how they find counterfeit stuff? By studying the original all the time. Do you know how you can find something counterfeit? That book right there. You know what that book right there do to you? And I've got a sermon on it at the house. The Lord hadn't let me preach it yet. But that book right there will make you an isolationist in a lot of ways. Because you know what happens?
you find out as you grow closer to the Lord. That's what we talk about all the time. There are things now, thought patterns now I have I didn't have a year ago. What happens? That book right there brainwashes you. Do you know what the Bible says in Ephesians 5? It says, sanctify it. Talking about the water, the Word. It says, they might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing. Washing. Brain washing. Washing of the water by the Word. Romans chapter 12 says that be ye renewed and transformed by the renewing of your mind. That Bible right there really restructures the way you think. Why? God says, my thoughts, Isaiah 55, are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. The heavens high than earth. So my thoughts, my ways and your way. Now you say, well, how do I get God's thoughts? Well, Philippians tell you, 4 verse 8, I believe it is, think on whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise. What happens is, He transforms the way you think the more you spend time in that book right there. Those are living words, and I tell you, like, well, I know y'all don't mind whenever I tell y'all this, but something about those Spirit words gets into you. It's something about it gets into you. Because it says, receive with meekness the engrafted. That word gets inside you. And it changes the way you think. And you get around people sometimes, you'll get them conversations and words that didn't bother you 10 years ago. Man, them same words, man, they'll just bother you in your spirit. And you'll say, that just, man, I don't want to be around it. What happens? Well, what happens is that Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. It's getting you closer. And what happens is, you get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You think about it. When a man or a woman is born again, I like to draw it like this tree. You got an old tree. I like to draw it with a hole like that right there in it. You got this old tree like this. You got that tree. And that tree right there is, guess what? That tree is dead. Can y'all see that? Can you see it, Mama? Alright. Now what happens is, your old nature, whenever God saves you, Colossians chapter 2 happens, and that old nature, He cuts away that flesh from you. And guess what? Until you get your new body, He says your flesh. Hey, if somebody, I can tell a liar. Anybody, the Bible says, if any man have not sinned, he's a liar. So guess what? The Bible says from now on, Galatians 5 and Romans says, you'll be fighting with your flesh, warring in your members. Right. Well, if somebody's not fighting sin, something bad wrong. Because the Bible says you're, so you got that old nature. So guess what happened? He cut that old stump off. And guess what happens here? You got this little old new nature. It starts off small. He says you start off babes in Christ. Alright? Now think about this. This thing, this seed, is on the inside of you. And guess what it does? The more you feed it with the Word of God, that's your feed. That's your bread. That's your apples. That's your honey. That's your water. It's got everything you need to feed that spiritual nature. Guess what that spiritual nature does as you grow in Christ? That thing gets bigger. Now, if something's on the inside of you and that thing gets bigger as it's on the inside of you, guess what happens? You're going to feel it more, aren't you? That's why as you grow in Christ, you wonder why now. How come now? I guarantee you, everybody in this room right now, there's things that you did when you first got saved you wouldn't do now. Why? You're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As you can feel Him more, you grow in Him. He grows on the inside. It's growing. That seed's growing. And friends, what happens is you get more sensitive. And what happens is, as you get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, man, He reveals things to you, and your conscience just gets more sensitive to that Holy Spirit there. And so you grow in this wisdom and everything else, and you're gaining not only the knowledge of God, but you get understanding from fearing the Lord. Because as you grow closer to the Lord, you fear Him. Why? You get to know Him better. Amen. And you fear Him. You just fall deeper in love with the Lord. You just get to where you love Him. And man, you just want to serve Him because you love Him, man. And so the Word of God does that. Now, another thing too, you say, well, what is the book of Proverbs? A proverb, a lot of times people wonder what a proverb is. I like this definition right here. Proverb is a short sentence based on long experience. That's one thing a proverb is. Solomon has got these proverbs down, and over his long years of experience, he was able to shorten that thing down just into a sentence to help you out. Alright, guess what else it is?
a proverb, as far as your Webster's dictionary tell you, it means to set alongside of. What it is, it's kind of like placing this right here alongside of something else and saying, look, this right here is the way to go. Does that make sense? I'll tell you what else it is too. A proverb, whenever you come through these proverbs, you got to be real careful. Remember this. It's a general principle. Generally applied, you get a general result. For instance, you got one where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Well, you know there's been a lot of kids get good training. And brother, a lot of them died with the hay, or a lot of them just didn't. A lot of kids growed up really good. A lot of them just didn't turn out the way folks would like for them to turn out. Well, you know what that means? A lot of good parents and things like that. Generally, the proverb is telling you generally, when you train them up, generally, they're going to do right. But sometimes there's an exception to the rule, but the exception proves the rule. Sometimes they just don't turn out. But the thing is, generally, if you train them up, they'll do right. But sometimes, friend, you've had some of these guys, they get up there and say, they get up there and have these parents, man, them parents loved and prayed for them children and things. They say, well, that Bible said you must not have been a good parent because you didn't train them up right. Hold on just a minute now. There's been parents pray for their kid, love their kid, take them to church and everything else, and man, them kids go out and do things that they had better raised than they do. What happened? It's a general rule, generally applied. You get a general result. Generally, if you follow them proverbs, that's what's going to happen. But the thing is, sometimes the children or whatever in that situation, they just don't go that way. Whose fault is that? A lot of people don't realize this, y'all. When a man gets to a certain age, or a woman gets to a certain age, friend, it's up to them to make their own choices.
That's exactly.
You can't make somebody's choice for them. You know some of the things, you got these Calvinists, and they believe in a God that makes the people do this, and He's going to make you get saved, and people don't have to witness, they don't believe, because if God's going to save them, they're going to save them anyway. Hold on a minute. Every man's got a free will. And when a man or a woman gets to a certain age, they've got their own free will, and they've got to choose. There comes a time when somebody's got to choose whether they want to do right or wrong. And so you've got that there. Now these proverbs, man, I will tell you this though: if somebody will apply them, they'll work. But the problem is, people don't apply them. They'll work, man. And so you see that. Now the other thing too, I thought about this: you got all these people that they say they got all this wisdom. And y'all, they've got the wisdom of the world. But any wisdom they've got that's good, they copied it all from right here. This Word of God from Solomon and from the Lord who gave Solomon his wisdom. So they copied it from the Lord. They think they've got any wisdom that works for them. They copied it right here out of the Word of God. And so God gave this man this wisdom. Now, let's start in this thing. He said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Watch this. To know wisdom, look at all these twos right here. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Man, there's so much in that. But you see that first, verse 2, you need to perceive. All right, to know wisdom, what do you got to do? He gives you instruction. First, you got to perceive the words of understanding. A lot of folks don't even want to perceive anything. They want to give me. Well, first you got to perceive the words. You say, well, I see the word. I know, you know what? When I hear that book right there, I know that's God's word. My spirit tells me that's God's word. You know what I can do? I can hear an NIV, and you know what my spirit tells me? That is not God's word. I don't know if y'all are like that, but when I hear somebody quote out of them new version, it sounds just like we talk. I know my spirit tells me that's not God's word. Now, I perceive them. Guess what? Once you perceive them there, then you're supposed to receive them, to receive the instruction. You know, some people just won't receive instruction. Some people, that's why he says every man is born over in Job like a wild ass's colt. Well, guess what? You know what the Bible says? Men are like, lost men are just like jackasses. That's what he says. They're hard-headed. Man, these people are just hard. They don't want to receive it. But first, you got to perceive it. Then you got to receive it. Look at verse 4. To give. You know what you need to do, what we got to do? You got to perceive it, and then you receive it. But guess what? When you receive something, don't keep it to yourself. Then you give it. Do you know why in the world would God give anybody any more wisdom if all they want to do is hoard it? You know, that's the thing about people nowadays. They want to get something, hoard it. They want. I heard one man say, look, people want to can all they can get, get all the can and then sit on the can. And man, that's how a lot of folks do. But the thing is, y'all, this world's backwards, man. If you're gonna put anything up in heaven, guess what you got to do? You got to lay it down. I wrote something down. I'm gonna share with you. It now seems like a good time. The Lord works backwards. You think about this right here. He works backwards. Y'all got to remember this. With how man does. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways not your ways. Now listen to this. You think about a yoke. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Now how do you get in that yoke? You sing.
That's right.
You got to put your head down. You got to go down. First thing, if you're going to get yoked up with Jesus Christ, you got to get humble. A lot of folks wonder why Jesus Christ won't bless them. You know why? They won't get humble. They just won't get humble. Now, do you know humble is not weakness? Humble is not weakness. People talk about weakness, meekness. They think, well, Jesus was meek. He probably wouldn't. No, sir. That's not meekness. Do you know Moses? Man, Moses would tell you, like if you read Moses' sermons over there, and you know what? Which Moses loved him. He loved him enough to die for him. But he was not weak at all. Man, you talk about how that man was. And he walked through them deserts and everything else. And guess what? Meekness, you know what that means? The Bible says Moses was meeker than any man on earth. That's what the Bible says. All right, do you know what that means? Meekness means obedient. He would obey the Lord. Well, man, he just obeyed the Lord. Now, every now and then he messed up. One time he smoked a rock twice. He's only supposed to smoke it once. We know that. But no man was perfect other than Jesus Christ. But as a general rule, he obeyed God. And friends, I tell you how much he obeyed God. God said, I'll talk to Moses face to face. He loved him, didn't he? His friend. And see, as a man talking with his friend, but it's opposite. Another thing, I thought about this. If you're going to build up, you got to break up your fallow ground. Opposite. If you're going, you think about that ground right there. If you're going to make that ground do anything outside, you got to break it up. That's completely opposite of what man would design. Ain't it? You know, Jesus Christ, completely opposite to how man is. Jesus Christ came in this world, he was born in a stable. In a manger. You know, if a man had something to do that, you know what, he'd be right in the palace, and man, he would have been born there, just been the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. But God don't work like that. God said, you know what, I'll come down there and I'll just strip off my robes of royalty, and I'll come down there and be born in a manger. And if somebody's going to come to me, guess what you got to do? How does a animal eat out of a manger? Put his head down, don't he? You going to feed off Jesus Christ, first thing you got to do? Down. You see, another thing too, if you're gonna get strong, you gotta break your muscles down. You break your muscles down and get strong. The Lord works in opposite. You think about it. If you're gonna win something, he that'll win, he said he'll lose your life. He said you'll lose it. Well, guess what? How do you get saved? Your old nature's gotta die. That old nature, what happens? Well, he kills that old man. That's why people wonder why the flesh, not only the devil not wants you to get saved, but your flesh don't want to get saved, because your flesh is alive before you get saved, and the flesh knows it's going to die. And the flesh don't want to go to the ground. The flesh wants to preserve itself as long as it can. Y'all know they've got things nowadays, they're trying to make people, they say, well, we're going to get folks to where we can make them live to 120 years. Friend, do you think I want to live 120 years? On this old wicked world.
What good would it be?
Hey man, if the Lord sees fit to take us tonight, that'd be fine. And see, we got to remember that. Is it almost time? We'll stop there.